to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord, that's a witness for him, but also to love one another. We often can see the little niggly things in one another, but actually to see Christ in one another and to love with his love. And in verse 36 of John 13, Simon Peter asks him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Jesus, of course, then is speaking about his own death on the cross. And actually, Jesus was hinting there that for Peter later on, he indeed would actually give his life for the Lord. Peter asks, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. And of course, in John 18, we read of the actual denials of Peter in John 18, verse 15. Simon Peter and another disciple were following Jesus. Because this disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard, but Peter had to wait outside at the door. The other disciple, who was known to the high priest, came back, spoke to the servant girl on duty there, and brought Peter in. "You aren't one of this man's disciples too, are you?" she asked Peter. He replied, "I am not." It was cold, and the servants and officials stood around a fire they had made to keep warm, and Peter also was standing with them, warming himself. And then later on, in John 18, verse 25, "Meanwhile, Simon Peter was still standing there warming himself. So they asked him, 'You aren't one of his disciples too, are you?' He denied it, saying, 'I am not.' One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him, 'Didn't I see you with him in the garden?' And again, Peter denied it. And at that moment, a rooster began to crow." In other accounts, it then says that Peter went out and wept bitterly, for he knew that he had denied the Lord. So here he would have the fire of burning coals there would have perhaps have triggered that memory in Peter's mind of what had taken place earlier. So Jesus wants to have a heart-to-heart with Peter. There's some unfinished business that needs to be taken care of. And Jesus says to him, Simon, he's going to ask him 3 questions. "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than these?" As you may be aware, in Greek there's different words for the word love. And there's the word of agape love, which is that deep, fervent, that total love. Then there's filial, which is a friendship, comradeship, love. Stratio, I think that's how you pronounce it, is a family love. Stratio, S-T-U-T-U-R-O, which is a family love. And then you have Eros, which is a romantic love. God's not satisfied with anything less than agape. Agape, that deep, divine, that fervent, total love. Indeed, God's word says, God said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength." love the Lord your God with all that you are. And Jesus said that that's what we are to do, to love him completely. Not just a little, but to love him with all that we are. That's the agape love. So Jesus here is saying to Peter, I want not just a little bit of your love, but all of your love. Total. How would you have felt if you were in Peter's shoes? How would you have felt when Jesus asked you the first time, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than these? More than what? Was it about the number of the fish that they'd caught? How they'd been blessed? And they could have been caught up with, oh wow, we've got 153 fish. That could have been their focus. And Jesus saying, well, actually, do you love me more than that? Do you love me more than the blessing that you've received there? Peter says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my lambs. Is it the plan? Feed my lambs. In other words, the lambs, the sheep, which Jesus claims as his own. Jesus, of course, is the great shepherd. And he's saying to Peter, do you know what, do you love me more than these? We are his lambs, we are his sheep. His flock. Jesus said the second time, Jesus said, feed my lambs. In other words, do you know what? Minister, feed with the word of God. May the word of God bring refreshing, bring that newness. In the sense that as we've been looking at in Psalm 23 and our reflections, the green pastures, the freshness of green pastures. Feed my lambs. And Jesus said again, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep, to tend, to watch over, to love, to care for. That's what Jesus was saying to Peter. And then the third time it says in verse 17, Jesus said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And it says that Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time. And perhaps at that point, Peter would have remembered, I denied the Lord three times. And this was the Lord actually reaffirming Peter again. And he says, do you love me? And Peter says something quite remarkable. He says, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. In other words, actually, Peter here gives proof of Christ's omniscience, that he is all-knowing, because it says, you know all things. You see, there's references in the New Testament where it says that Jesus knew the hearts, he knew the minds of those of the religious leaders, and when they were trying to trip him up with various questions, and it says that he knew what they were thinking, the omniscience, and that showed, and that was proof of the fact that Jesus is the Son of God, is of God, he is God, because he knows all things, and Peter recognises that, and he declares it. This time he's not ashamed to verbally declare, actually yes, you know all things, you are omniscient. So Peter is reaffirmed, there's a rededication that takes place. And then Jesus says something in verse 18, very strange, perhaps to some. Because actually it says in verse 18, after saying, feed my sheep, after reaffirming Peter the third time, so Peter denied him three times, and now there was that reaffirmation, that rededication, three times. And Jesus then says in verse 18, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Verse 19 tells us the background here. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And traditionally, we're told that that indeed Peter was a martyr, that he was crucified upside down. And indeed, he gave his life for the Lord. So in other words, Jesus was just saying to Peter, do you know what? The shepherding of the flock would ultimately cost him his life. But there was a reassurance here that actually Peter wasn't going to deny Jesus anymore. There was that reassurance that he wouldn't deny him, even if it cost him his life. So I can imagine that Peter would have been encouraged, albeit perhaps a little bit nervous, but would have been encouraged. He would have been built up, knowing that actually those three denials had been cancelled out in that sense by these three affirmations from the Lord Jesus, and the fact that actually he would, Peter himself, would give his life for the Lord. So, we see here that actually Philippians 1 verse 6 comes to mind, that as God's word declares, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And for Peter, yes, he'd denied the Lord three times, but God still had work for him to do. God was still going to use Peter in an amazing way, and indeed we were told that actually in Matthew 16 verse 18. We'll just turn to that now. In Matthew 16 and verse 18, actually verse 16, if we pick it up from there, just a few verses beforehand, Jesus is saying, who do people say that I am? And the disciples, there's various replies. Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, others Jeremiah. And verse 16, Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replies in verse 17, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood. In other words, humanly speaking, it wasn't revealed to you, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Will not overcome it. So there we see that actually God was going to use Peter in an amazing way. Upon this rock I will build my church. The name of Peter means rock. Of course, it wasn't meaning that the church would be Peter's, because Jesus said, upon this I will build my church. And indeed, in 1 Peter 2, verses 6 and 7, Peter recognises and declares that Jesus is the foundation. He's the chief cornerstone of the church. It's he himself, the Lord Jesus, not Peter. Peter's not saying it's him, but it's saying it's only the Lord Jesus. And yes, Peter was used in an amazing way in the foundation of the church when it was born after the resurrection of the Lord. And Peter was used mightily along with the Apostle Paul and many others. Indeed, it was Peter who first proclaimed the gospel on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, verses 14 to 47. Peter was also the first to take the gospel to the Gentiles, to the non-Jews, in Acts 10, 1 to 48. So praise God that, yes, Peter had many failings, but God didn't, the Lord Jesus didn't see the failings alone in isolation, but saw the potential that there was in Peter. And God sees that in you and I as well. God chooses to use the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. You know, all that God's looking for is willingness and obedience. That's what he's looking for. And as you will be familiar, perhaps, with this little saying that God doesn't call the qualified, but he qualifies the called. You know, in other words, he equips those who have a willingness to hear him speak and to obey and to step out and do it. And yes, Peter many times stepped out. Many times he opened his mouth and put his foot in it. But the Lord knew his heart. He knew that the spirit was willing. But yes, the flesh at times was weak. And the Lord knows that in each one of us. That yes, we are willing. Sometimes we mess up. We get it wrong. But do you know what? God wants us to come back to him in those moments. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I blew it there. Lord, help me. Help me the next time. And the Lord graciously picks us back up again. Gets us back running again. And the Lord graciously did that for Peter. This heart-to-heart on the beach resulted in Peter being set on fire for the Lord. And truly, when on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, they were truly set on fire for the Lord. But it was important that this conversation took place between Peter and the Lord Jesus. It was important for Peter's sake, as Jesus reaffirms him as the rededication takes place. So for you and I, yes, the Lord knows our inadequacies. He's not looking for perfection in us, but he is looking for that willingness to obey him, that willingness to get on, to continue running the race, that willingness of a soft heart. to respond to what he wants us to do, wants us to say, for what he wants us to be. So where you are right now, let's just take a moment to just reflect on what we've heard. And allow the Holy Spirit to speak into our hearts and to respond to the Lord now. So let's just take a moment or two to do that. Lord Jesus, thank you that you not only forgive us when we get things wrong, but that Lord Father, you help us to get back into the race, to get back into running the race for you. That indeed the hurdles that come along our way, some we manage to clear, others we trip up and we fall flat on our face. That Holy Spirit, you're there and you help us to get back up again and to continue running the race with perseverance, to aim towards that finishing line, that indeed we'd be able to say, I've run the race, I've completed the race, I've finished. And Lord Father, we Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that you, what you start, you complete. You don't do half a job, but you complete it. So God, thank you for the work that you have done, that you are doing, and the work you're going to do in each and every one of our lives, Lord. But Lord, Father, we would indeed rededicate ourselves to you afresh. That Lord Jesus, as you have three times reaffirmed Peter, and then you said to him, in other words, you know, the way ahead isn't going to be easy. In actual fact, you're going to give your life for me. And then you said those two words, follow me. And Lord Jesus, we pray that indeed we would hear those two words at the start of every day. We would hear you saying those two words to us, follow me. And that God, by the help of your Holy Spirit, by your grace, that Lord, we would indeed answer that and say, yes, Lord, I'm following you today. Whatever today holds, I'll follow you. Whatever you want me to do, to say, I'll do it. I'll say it. But Lord, we would indeed walk closely with you. So Lord Jesus, we ask this all for your glory and honour. Amen.